We're doing the Ramban. We'll start again, now that we saw the whole Gemara in Sanhedrin, about what happens when a person is a Kohen who serves when he's defiled, and a person who is Boel Aramit, who lives with a non-Jewish woman. We saw all those halachot of Kana'im Pogimbo. Once we have that, now that we have the background of the Gemara, we could see the Ramban inside. Ha'ikar ha'shlishi amar bo harav, she'en ro'i she'imnu mitzvot she'enan nedorot. The Rambam's principle was that mitzvos that are not relevant for generations, well, they don't get counted as part of the 613. They may be biblical, but they're not part of the count. And that seems obvious. If we would count the commandments that were only for that time, so then you'd have to count every mitzvah in Mitzrayim, uva midbar, and in the desert. Hashem tells Moshe, hit the Nile. So is that a biblical mitzvah? Collect the man. Is that a biblical mitzvah? All the mitzvahs that were one-time mitzvahs in the Mitzrayim, in the desert, mitzvot tasev, mitzvot lo tasev, v'ya olel cheshbon gadol, would end up being a huge number, k'mo shamar harav, as Maimonides himself said. V'chas v'shalom shebal halachot gadolot yiteh bazeh. And even though the Rambam's attacking bal halachos gadolos, God forbid, bal halachos gadolos didn't err in this point. Aval asher manah, but that which bal halachos gadolos counted, the mitzvah, when it says that when they fold up the Mishkan, the Levim will be careful, v'lo yavo lirot kevalat ha-kodesh, they won't come to look at the folding up of the Holy of Holies as it's being packed away. So that seems to be a mitzvah that's only relevant in the desert. How come he counted that? Mipnei shu etzlo mitzvah ledorot, because he considers it a mitzvah for generations. How so? Mima she'amru begonevta kasva. The Talmud tells us in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah that we saw, if someone steals an item of Hegdish, the Gemara says the Kohanim would kill him. So the Gemara says, v'heicha remiza. What illusion do you have in the Torah that you could kill a person for stealing something from Hegdesh? Dichtiv, v'lo yavo lirot kevalat ha-kodesh. The Gemara brings this pasuk. So you see, the Gemara seems to say that this pasuk is an indicator that one who steals from Hegdesh gets a death penalty. So that seems to say it's ledoros. So we said, kasna, so that we saw in the Gemara, that lo yavo lirot kevalat ha-kodesh, the Gemara said, Vamesu. It says if they even look at it, at the holy things as they're being packed up, they get the death penalty. Okay. So the Gemara says, certainly if they steal from it. So the Rambam says, what do you want? The Gemara says it's a remez, it's an illusion. You see, it's not a derivation. So how could you say that's a mitzvah for a generation? And the literal reading of the pasuk has nothing to do with stealing. And this isn't even considered something that you get the death penalty for, even a spiritual death penalty. This doesn't count. The Torah says, with regard to that, if the Levite comes in to watch as they pack up the Holy of Holies, he gets the death penalty at the hands of heaven. The Kohanim saw an illusion in that, an illusion, as a basis for their giving the death penalty to someone who stole from the Kodesh. Agonevet ha-kasva. V'inei boda min ara, v'inei boda min ara. Just one second, let's find the place here. There you go. So the Rambam will admit, that if it does get Misa Bidei Shamayim, if a person, the Rambam seems to say, look, you're not going to give Misa Bidei Shamayim, so obviously it's not one of the Taryag Mitzvos. So the Ramban says, okay, so that means that if I could prove that you should give him Misa Bidei Shamayim for stealing an item of Hegdesh, then the Rambam would agree it's part of Taryag Mitzvos. Vanitamea alavzal. So the Ramban says, I have a question. I don't understand the Rambam. Sheim eno michlal chavei mita b'dei shamayim. You want to tell me that if someone steals it, he's not chayv misa b'dei shamayim, aval hu chamur yoter. Then the only reason it's not that is because it's worse. Because what does it say? We saw the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. If a guy would steal from Hegdesh, they'd kill him. Remember, we said the Kohanim would take their axe, they'd bash his brain open. So, what are you telling me?
But that's not
Oh, so we said this is going to be the point of contention between the Rambam and Ramban. On the one hand, the Gemara said, if you don't have a verse, you can't go kill a person. On the other hand, the Gemara said, what's the verse? Oh, well, I have an allusion to this idea in this verse. What does that mean? So we said that's exactly the point of contention between Rambam and Ramban. The Ramban over here is saying, well, it's not Misa B'Dei Shamayim because it's worse, because we have a license to kill him based on this.
Since when is Misa B'Dei Adam worse than Misa B'Dei Shamayim?
It is. That's a given in the Gemara.
Oh, really?
When the Gemara darshins Kal V'Chomer is...
Worse in which case?
Meaning if I want to compare, the Rambam writes in the first Mishnah and the second Perek of Pirkei Avos, Rebbe Omer... Have Zahir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura shein ata yodea matan secharan shel mitzvot. Rebbe says in the beginning of the second chapter of Pirkei Avos, be careful with a light mitzvah as a weighty mitzvah, because you don't know what wages you're getting for the mitzvot. So the Rambam over there says something which is a given throughout the Shas. The Rambam says, when do we say we don't know the weight of mitzvot? That's with regular mitzvot. But when you have a punishment on a mitzvah, so we know which punishment is more severe than the other. And the Gemara, when it darshens, the Gemara very often starts saying, this is more chamer than that, this is karis, this is misa b'dei shamayim, this is skila, shreifa, herek, chenek, lav. The Gemara makes a calculation when the Gemara darshens. So you see clearly, the Gemara gives you, and the Rambam over there delineates the weights based on punishments. He says... 100%, yes. Misa b'dei Adam is worse than Misa b'dei Shamayim. So, that's throughout the Gemara. You see that? The Rambam is just an easy place. If you want to see the enumeration of the order, so you can see it in the Rambam. So the Ramban says, Avlo chamu yoter, sharei hu chayav mita b'dei Adam. The Ramban considers the fact that the Kohanim would bash his brains out to mean that he's chayv misa b'dei adam. And if you recall, we said, that's not so clear. Meaning it's not so clear by what right they do it. And that's where we're going to enter now, that whole sugya vis-a-vis the Ramban. But we, when we learned the sugya, recognized right away that that's going to be the point between the Rambam and Ramban. Hey, the Mishnah clearly says, kanain poginbo, the zealots, they take him down. But undoubtedly, says the Ramban, he's even chayv misa b'dei shamayim k'damin nata migmal sanhedrin, as the Gemara says there in Sanhedrin. He asked him, lemaise, if he did it, and they didn't take care of him, is he chayv misa b'dei shamayim or not? So the Gemara, we saw it last time in the time before that too. The Gemara says, "Nina kohen sheshmesh betuma, en achav kohanim vinto lebetin, el apichei kunam motzin tochutz lazara, upotzin mocho begizirin." The Gemara over there said, come on, what's your question? Our Braisa says, if a kohen served and he didn't care that he was defiled, so we don't bother bringing him to court. The young kohanim take him out of the azara, and with their axes they bash open his skull. And if he were chayav misa b'dei shamayim, nishvikuv liktulu b'dei shamayim. So then why do they bother dealing with him? Leave him to the hands of heaven. V'ikshinu. So then the Gemara asks, elamayin no chayav mita. Wait a second, you want to tell me he's not chayav misa? Mikamidi d'rachmana patrei v'anan katlina nei. Does such a concept exist that from the Torah's perspective he's scot-free? But we decide we're not letting you off so easy, we're going to kill you. How could that be? That's what the Gemara asks there. V'sha'alnu, v'arei mi shelaka v'shana. So the Gemara over there says, what about a case where a person got malchus twice? You see, there is such a concept. V'tiratznu, b'malkuyot shel kritut askinan, t'gavra barkatlo. So the Gemara over there says, ah, okay, that's talking about a specific case where a person got malchus where he was supposed to get kares, where the guy really did deserve the death penalty. V'sha'alnu od, so the Gemara over there asks further, v'agonevta katzva. What about the case where a guy steals from Hekdesh, where it says, kanaim pogimbo, that the zealots could kill him for it? So how could you kill him? Meaning we postulated. We would never kill a person unless the Torah gave us a license to do that. Then we started bringing examples and asking, how could you say that? But what about this, that, and the other thing? So the latest case which we asked from is what about Gonevet HaKasva, our case, where it says that Gonevet HaKasva, we were the Kanaim Pogimbo, the zealots would kill him. Over here. V'teratznu k'mochen ha'amar v'yuda b'chli sharet. So the Gemara answers, Konev ta'kasva is talking about a vessel that was dedicated to the Bet HaMikdash. V'rachman ha'amar v'lo yivo lirot kevelat ha'kodesh v'meitu. You see, there's a pasuk. So the Gemara seems to treat that pasuk as a source. You're right. Earlier the Gemara called it a remez. But later the Gemara says, you couldn't kill me if you don't have a source. So the Gemara says, okay, your source is that pasuk. Lomar dehainami barkat lahu. From that pasuk, the Gemara wants to say that this guy is also chayav misa. Dechayav mita b'dei shamaimu. He's chayav misa b'dei shamaim. V'chen shalnu, the Gemara goes on to ask, kaboel aramit. How come a person who sleeps with an aramit, so kanain pogim bo, the zealots could kill him? So the Gemara said, how did they do that? Who gave him permission? Ve'shavnu hakaryul rav kana bechalmei v'atke rav legalmei. The Gemara answers, if you remember, the Gemara quoted that pasuk from Yecheskel, banim zarim yaladu, the Gemara said about those men who sleep with the other women and then they have strange children, and Hashem says, I'm gonna kill them. So from the pasuk in Yecheskel, you remember that he asked his Rebbe didn't remember, that night he had a dream, in his dream they told him that pasuk, and then he remembered, the pasuk from the pasuk, we know that he is chayv misa b'dei shamayim. You remember, he asked his Rebbe, lo pagu bo kanaim, if the zealots didn't catch him in the act. So then what's his din? So his Rebbe said, gee, I don't remember. That night he had a dream, and they told him that pasuk in a dream. He came back next morning, and he said, gee, I remembered. At night I had a dream. That pasuk, from that pasuk, my Rebbe told me, he had a masorah that from that pasuk, we learned that he's chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Now this is very, very difficult, because the Ramban is really stretching things. One, the Gemara calls it a remez. Two, the Gemara, we didn't know how to deal with the Gemara because the Gemara doesn't seem to say it's a Makar. Three, this is a Pasuk in Nevi'im. Ein onshin min adin, you can't even use a Kal v'chomer to punish a person. Now we're going to use a Pasuk from Yechezkel? So you tell me, Bidei Shamayim, Yechezkel revealed to me that in Shamayim they're going to kill him, I have no problem. I don't care, I don't know what's in Shamayim, fine. But you want to tell me based on that I could kill him? That's what the Ramban wants to say. So we left it from the Gemara, we said, we have a big question. How does this work? Since when do you give the death penalty based on a pasuk in Yechezkel? Or based on Masorah or Torah Shebaal Peh? So, on Kanoim Poginbo, you have to say that on some level, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a Masorah. Now, let's just introduce a few ideas. If I asked you a question, which is stronger, logic or Torah? What would you say? Torah. You'd be right, but you'd be wrong. Why? Because the Gemara sometimes says, Lama likra svaru. What do I need a pasuk for? It's obvious. Meaning the Gemara is saying, if you could figure it out logically, I don't need a pasuk. So there are certain things that the Gemara assumes come before Torah. There are areas where the Gemara says, if you could have deduced it logically, what did I need a pasuk for? Meaning, on certain levels, logic comes before Torah, right? That's the Gemara's assumption. If I could have deduced it logically, then I don't need the Torah to tell it to me. The pasuk is superfluous if I could deduce it logically, right? So then there are certain things that the Gemara assumes you could get them before Torah. And the question is, where does halacha Moshe Mesinai fall? Moshe Rabbeinu teaches them halachos. Now what? Moshe comes down with the egel, right? Doesn't say anywhere, kanoim poginbo. Moshe comes down. So there it's avodah zarah. But the whole story of Pinchas, where does it say in the Torah, kanoim poginbo? Pinchas goes out and kills him, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, good for you. Okay, but where did it say it? Where does it say it in the Torah? There it tells you it already happened, based on what was Pinchas doing it.
Maybe we learn from Pinchas the concept of...
On some level, that's what we saw in the Gemara. There's a Keren Ora in Morit Katan, which discusses when can you derive from things that the Torah says, Derech Sipur. Meaning the Torah sometimes tells you a story. So the Torah tells you that Lavan made 7 days celebration for Yaakov. Does that teach you Sheva Brachos? The Torah tells you that he said, Malei Shevu Azot, finish this one, Sheva Brachos, v'nitna lecha gam etzon. We'll give you the other one, we'll make another Sheva Brachos. So from there you could learn in Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Torah tells us, Vayas l'aviv evel shivat yamim. Yosef mourned his father for 7 days. Does that mean that Avelus is Doraisa now? The Torah tells you certain things in story form. Well, that makes him Doraisa?
Well, what about Purim, the first mitzvah?
Okay, but first of all, that's not in story form.
That's not story form.
It says Hashem said. Hashem commanded. It's telling you Hashem commanded.
Bris
Mila?
Yeah.
It says Hashem commanded Avram that future generations would have to be mal. It says, "Vatat briti tishmor ata v'zarecha acharecha la'achuzat olam." Zod briti asher tishmeru himol lachem kol zachar. Hashem says, "This is what I want of you."
Mom.
What? Now. It happens to be that the Gemara does say what you said. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says we don't have any mitzvah from before Matan Torah. Pruervu, Gidanoshe, Brismila, we had to be recommanded after Matan Torah. Our commandment does not stem from the commandment written before Matan Torah. Ra'av vayater goim, the Gemara in Avod Zara Darshins. Hashem saw that the nations weren't keeping Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, so he said, "Begun with you, I'm not giving you any more schar for it. You guys are still held accountable, but I'm giving it to Am Yisrael, and there are new commandments for the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach." This, by the way, is a Machlokas Rishonim. The most Rishonim learn that Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach are part of Taryag, so we have 613 mitzvot, right? Everyone knows that. The Rambam doesn't learn that way, or at least the way the Primigodim understood the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. The way the Primigodim understood the Rambam is that there are 620 mitzvot. There are 613 on top of the 7. Gematria Keter mitzvot. But if you say it to people, they'll say, "Wow, what are you talking to me?" No, 613, everyone knows, right? The question is, does that include the 7 Noahide laws or not? So that most Rishonim learn it does. The Rambam says, no, it doesn't. And if you learn, okay, whatever, yes.
What was with Am Yisrael in Egypt? Miriam went to her father and said, "You're worse."
But that's not from Pruervu.
From Pruervu? No.
He was Yotze Pruervu. He had Aaron and Miriam.
Okay, so why did
you
listen to her? Not for that reason?
I don't think so, no. Yeah. No, that we discussed this week. I don't remember if here or in Mahon Meir or in Katavan. I don't remember anymore. But we discussed it mamash this week. A whole long mahalach and why I listened to her, right? I think it was in Mahon Meir last night. No? I don't remember anymore. I don't remember. Okay. Back to our, but it's long. Back to the Ramban. Kilomar, shunami mechavei mitotu, kemo shekatuv banvua, yachet Hashem neisha shayasena ervona. So the Ramban says, and now he's going to answer what was bothering us. He says, so he remembered the pasuk in Malachi. I got it wrong. It wasn't Yecheskel, it was Malachi. Where it says Hashem will uproot a person who does this. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Now there's a big discussion. First of all, what is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Halacha? What is that? L'Moshe? What is that? Misinai? What's that? So, yeah. Rav Pesen Zatzal used to quote, I don't remember, some philosopher who used to say, if it's common, it's not sense. If it's sense, it's not common. But common sense says, Halacha Moshe Misina, you know, everyone knows, it's tradition, it's halachas we have on tradition. His straps of tefillin should be black. Not so pashut. First of all, the word halacha needs definition. What does halacha mean?
The way.
So that's a very good definition. There's a difference between halacha, halacha lemaaseh, and other terminologies for halacha. Limoshe, what does the word Moshe mean? You'll tell me Moshe is a person. I'll also tell you Moshe is a person, but Moshe is not only a person. Because Moshe was really called Tuvia. Moshe had 10 names. Yekusiel. Moshe had a lot of names. Why? What's Moshe? Moshe represents a certain madrega, and that's true throughout the Shas, and we discussed this once. That names are not only the person. And that's why you find in the Gemara, Moshe Shapir Kamrit, when an Amora would say something, another Amora got all excited, he'd tell Moshe that was great, but his name wasn't Moshe. Yeah, but Moshe isn't only about the name. Moshe is also about a madrega. Halacha le Moshe mi Sinai. What's Sinai? So we know Sinai is a mountain. That's where the Sinai came from, right? Everyone hated us ever since we got the Torah there. But Sinai is much more than that. Yeah, you know, the Gemara tells us a story in Horios. In the end of Horios, the Gemara says that when the Rosh Hashiva and Bavel died, they had a question, who should be Rosh Hashiva, Rabbo or Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef was Sinai. Rav Yosef remembered all the Gemaras and Brises and Mishnayos. He knew them the best. Well, he was blind, so he had an amazing memory, Rav Yosef. Rabba Bar Nachmani, who was Abaye's adoptive father and his uncle, Rabba, he was Oker Harim. He could uproot mountains. He was so sharp. So they had a question, who should be Rosh Yeshiva, Rabba or Rav Yosef? So they sent a letter to the Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and they asked him, Sinai ve'Oker Harim, when you have two giants in Torah, Sinai, the one with the great tradition, and Oker Harim, the one who's so pilpul he could figure the sharpest things out, who wins? So they paskened in Eretz Yisrael, Sinai, Rav Yosef should be Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Yosef had a dream that 2 years after he ascends to being Rosh Yeshiva, he's going to drop dead. So he said, no thanks, Rabbah. I know we asked the Shaila. I know we got a psak. You're the chief rabbi. Goodbye. So for 20 years, Rabbah was Rosh Yeshiva. And throughout that time, Rav Yosef was like, he played it like nothing. When Rabbah passed away, Rav Yosef became Rosh Yeshiva. And 2 years later, he really died. Remind me once to go back into the whole idea of Rav Yosef forgetting his Torah. There's a whole thing to discuss about what really happened there. But at any rate, what do we call Rav Yosef, who's a master of our tradition? Sinai. So then Sinai is not only the mountain, Sinai represents a mastery of tradition. Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. What are we doing here? We're telling about a place? Moshe received the Torah, I need to know where. Yeah, that really matters. No. There's much more to it than that. The idea of Sinai is not only about the place. The idea of Sinai is about the tradition. Notice, what is Rabba called? Oker Harim, uprooting mountains. It's as though he's the mountain and he can uproot the mountain. So, on a different occasion, we have to go into what?
It's like he uproots Mount Sinai.
Right. Oh.
Okay.
So that needs a longer discussion. One day we should be zocher learning Geres Rav Shira. I go on to the other.
Can we say that logic comes before Torah in some,
On some level, but okay, you're dragging me along. Fine. So the Gemara tells us in Tanis another story. I think it was Rav Chama. I'm not sure I remember the name correctly. He had a student. He was very, very sharp. He had a student who left him and went to another Amora to learn by him. I don't remember who. And he met up with the student one day. And he said to him, why, Zalek? Why'd you leave me? You think he's any better? So he said, look, you're the sharpest, I agree. But he has a better tradition. When I ask you a question, you figure it out with all your pilpul. And after all your pilpul, I sometimes bump into a braisa that says not like you. And you have to undo your pilpul. By him, I ask him a question. He doesn't do pilpul. He quotes me braises. He has such a masora. So if I come with a logic, so he'll answer me with a braise. And then I have to rework my logic because he has a masora. So I'm better off learning by him than I am learning by you. So he got upset. It says he went up, climbed up on top of a mast of a ship. And he said, if anyone could ask me a question that I don't know, I'm jumping off the mast. I'm dead. All these things need better definition. But what do you see there? That his own student said to him, with all the pilpul, your pilpul is sometimes not only Oker Harim, it's also Oker Har Sinai. Right? It's along the lines of what you were saying. Right? So Sinai is that mountain. So one day we have to go into a broader discussion of this, because the Gemara really says there is a concept of Yikov Adin Etahal. Let the logic uproot the mountain. There is such a concept in the Gemara. But okay, it doesn't say that's Sinai, right? It doesn't say which mountain. It just says, zhum, you go straight with logic. You go with what's right. At any rate, back to our Gemara. So, the Ramban tells us, yes, the Gemara brings you a source. How do we know that Kanoim Pogenbo? From where can the zealots hit a guy who is within Aramit? I know it from the Pasuk in Malachi. Then the Ramban adds, and it is a halacha l'moshe misinai. So what am I saying? Halacha l'moshe misinai is sometimes before Torah. Now let's go back. We said there's halacha moshe misinai, there's Torah. We have a discussion. Safek doraisa l'chumra. Safek derabanan l'kula. Safek halacha l'moshe misinai, what? So that's a discussion. The Prima Gadim in his introduction to Shulchan Aruch brings a machlokas in that. We generally assume it's l'chumra. Why? Because we generally assume that just like logic is before Torah, so too halacha Moshe Misinai. But that needs some work. Meaning I'm oversimplifying the whole discussion. But now let's go back to the Ramban. Why am I saying all this? Because can you kill from halacha Moshe Misinai? We say, Ein onshin min ha-din. You cannot punish based on a derivation of a kal v'chomer. But can you punish based on halacha Moshe Misinai? So from here it seems yes, right? Okay.
Can I ask a question which it's a little bit related, but it's a little bit of a gray area with me right here. The Mice of Pinchas, it came after Moshe came down, it happened after Moshe came down from Har Sinai.
At the end of the 40 years, yeah.
Okay. What did Moshe receive on Har Sinai?
Oh. So...
In Devarim, the Midbar, Hashem didn't tell him that. I mean, that happened, the story of him being up on the Har was in the middle of Yitro, or... Anybody understand my question?
I understand the question. Is that... That Moshe Rabbeinu received everything there, and he just wrote it down as events progressed.
How long an answer do you want? 1 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute, half hour?
We'll take a pause.
Start with a summary of a 1 minute answer.
1 minute answer. Okay. So, a 1 minute answer is, Rashi tells us in Parashas Behar, Why does Behar later on tell me Behar Sinai at the end of Vayikra that to tell me that the whole Torah was given at Har Sinai? That Moshe Rabbeinu got the whole Torah at Har Sinai. Ma Shmita, Mainyan Shmita etzel Har Sinai. Ma Shmita, Nitnu Klosea, Prosotosea, Diktukea b'me Har Sinai. Avkola mitzvos, we got the generalizations, the details, everything was given at Har Sinai. So that's a general answer. If you want a longer answer, I just uploaded to the website. Kasriel was there. Last Thursday night, we had a long discussion about Anshei Knesset HaGdola and how Torah can develop over generations and the institutions of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. It was 2 weeks ago, right? Because last week was Purim. 2 weeks ago. And in the question and answer section, I have four files. Q&A, Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And we go into a whole discussion of how Torah could develop and what developed after Moshe came down from Har Sinai. So you'll get a broader answer. And if you want to edumacate yourself, so take 15 minutes on Shabbos afternoon. Maybe you could grab Kastriel and David and do it together. Take the Tosus Yomtiv in his Akdama. And in his Akdama, it's short. It's like really a short paragraph. He addresses this question too. And then next week, when you guys see that you enjoyed it so much, you could take the Ramban's Akdama to the Torah, where the Ramban also addresses it. But then you should switch the order, because on the Ramban you might need my help, and this week I'm here. The Tosus Yom Tov, I don't think you'll need my help, so then maybe you should do the Tosus Yom Tov next week. But in truth, it's also a Gemara, meaning the Gemara discusses a machlokes, whether the Torah Parsha Parsha Nitna, or the Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna, or everything was given all at once. And really the discussion deserves a broader discussion, because it's only in Devarim that you have the Parsha of divorce, so they didn't have divorce before that. And the Torah only discusses the second two parashiyos of Tefillin, Shema and Vehoyam, Shemoah and Devarim. So they weren't saying Shema all the years in the desert, and their Tefillin only had two parashiyos all those years in the desert, because they didn't have Shema and Vehoyam, Shemoah. But I said I'd stick to 1 minute, and I've already gone over time. Okay, so back to our Ramban.
Okay, but do we understand why I asked this question right now?
Why did you ask the question right now? Because you're saying, what did they know? Kanoim Poginbo. So the Lashon of the Medrash is, Moshe, there is a Medrash that says, Moshe, when you came down from Har Sinai, you taught us Kanoim Poginbo, meaning Pinchas remembered from 38 years earlier that this was Aloch al Moshe Misinai that he taught when he came off the Har. For some reason, and I'm not yet sure why, there is a Medrash that uses that term, when you came off the Har. Now, maybe the Medrash is alluding to the idea that it's from the Har. It's Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's not something that you showed us inside, but Dafka, when you came off the Har, the stress being on the, yeah, on the Sinai, yeah. Yeah? Fair? Okay? Can we go on? Yes, you sure? Okay, onward. Okay. And you know what? Maimonides himself enumerates this as the 52nd mitzvah that is Chayv Karison. And being that Rav Sheshat was disproving, what did Rav Sheshat say? Rav Sheshat said, remember, he asked him, is a Kohen who served defiled Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim? He said, obviously not, because we kill him. If you're Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim, why do we touch him, leave him to Shamayim? So the Ramban learns that the way the sugya plays itself out, Rav Sheshet is refuted because the logic of the Gemara, if you recall, we pointed this out, the Gemara switched logic on us. Initially, Rav Sheshet said, well, if you're Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim, you wouldn't touch him. And what did the Gemara go on to say? You couldn't touch him without a Torah's license. And when the Torah says he's Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim, that's a license to kill him. So when we learned the Gemara, we said, you see, those are two conflicting logics. And we left that hanging. We said, okay, so the Gemara seems to have switched its logic from Rav Sheshet. And that's what the Ramban is saying. That when the Gemara switched its logic, the Gemara was telling you the halacha is not like Rav Sheshet. That's a big chiddush. Because then where do you draw the line? You know, a guy's Michal Shabbos, there's one aid and no hasra. Okay? Two aidim and no hasra. So he's chayiv kares. So let's just draw a sword and kill him. Because if he's chayiv misabdei shamayim, so I could kill him too. Obviously you can't do that. But then the question is, how'd they do it here? Where do you draw the line? So the Ramban says, okay, here you had Allah of Moshe Misinai. So again, v'kivan shalu divrei Rav Sheshet b'tyuvta, being that Rav Sheshet was disproven, am da'alacha kmo she'amarnu. So then the halacha remains like we said, de'lekamidi de'achman ha'patrei, there isn't any such thing that the Torah says he's potter, v'anan katninan le'en, we're going to go ahead and kill him. V'shagonev etakasva chayav mita. So then when the Mishnah says if someone steals an item of Hegdish, so then he gets the death penalty, hu bidei shamayim, it must be bidei shamayim, shim lo hayah chayav mita bidei shamayim, lo hayah mitato bidei hakanayin. Because if we didn't have the basis that he's chayav misa bidei shamayim, then the Mishnah could never say that the zealots kill a guy when he steals something from Hegdish. A guy walks into the base of Hegdish, we see he slipped something in his pocket and he tries to make a getaway, so the kohen takes out his shechita knife and ensures that that's it. So that's, how does he do that? So the Ramban says, well, if the logic that the Gemara supported was that you have to have a basis in order to kill him, and a basis, a kosher basis, is Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim, since Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. And now let's go back to the initial attack the Ramban was making. The Rambam was attacking Baal Halachos Gedolos for considering stealing from Hegdish one of the 613. The Rambam said, it's a remez, you're not even Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Ramban said, oh, well, hold on there. So if I could prove to you that he's Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim, you will acquiesce that it's one of the 613. So now the Ramban comes full circle and says, well, if we kill him, then that's only because he's really Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. In which case, I've proven, like Behag, that it should be one of the 613. That's the Ramban's logic. Back to the Ramban. And it would seem further, that even Rav Sheshet would admit, because it's the Torah that said that the Levites should not be present as the Holy of Holies is being folded up. They shouldn't just stand there and watch. But the discussion in the Gemara was based on the fact that the Gemara didn't know what the word kasva means. And if you look closely at the Gemara, that's really the makeup of the Gemara. The Gemara then asks, wait a second, what is this kasva? Nonetheless, as the Ramban, you want to agree with me on that last point or not, at the end of the day, what we say is that if a person steals from Hegdish, he's Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim, and at the hands of man. Which is a point which we asked last week. How does that work? How do we kill a person? So, is Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim, the Ramban says, and B'dei Adam, the B'dei Shamayim, my darshan from a pasuk, the B'dei Adam is the Halacha Moshe Misinai. Okay. So we have a huge chiddush here. Either way, we have a chiddush, but at least now we have this angle of the chiddush that halacha l'moshe mi Sinai could give me a license to kill. Okay. back to the Ramban.
What about the question of how we identify what is halakha and what should be seen? Like, how is that coming out in, how is that identified? This aspect is the halakha and what should be seen. That's just somehow from the Masorah, and there's going to be makhloket on that. Is it or isn't it a halakha and what should be seen? It's clear to all in Chazal that yes, this is in fact a halakha. When is that, like, how is that expressed? Is that consistent across Chazal, or is not that? Which aren't?
One, three, five, or ten. How long an answer?
Three to five.
Okay. So.
There's no such thing as one.
Okay. So we begin with the Rambam. The Rambam makes a blanket statement in his Akdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos that there's no machlokes in Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So that's the Rambam. And the Rambam says, I'll cover most of the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim right here. And he enumerates about 50 Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Okay. Along come everyone after him and says, what's he talking about? You have machlokes in almost in every Masech in Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So the first one to really write about it was Rav Yair Bachrach in the Tshuvas Chavos Yair, the first one that's famous, and maybe there are others, but as far as I know, and what's most famous is the Tshuvas Chavos Yair. We won't go into his tshuva. We will fast forward. He was the early Achronim. So the Chavos Yair has one angle. But let's first attack from a different aspect, okay? Before we deal with that Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, here, what we're learning. You see the commentary on the bottom called Kina Sofrim? So, he develops... he's very radical. And if you're going to quote this without quoting the source, then don't quote me either, okay? If you don't quote the source, you get hung for saying things like this. But he develops the following idea. We like to think what you just said. The most convenient thing to think is Masorah and everything's great from Moshe. We know exactly what the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is. But no, it doesn't really work that way. He says it works the other way. And the Ramban already said this in the first Shoresh. He said, if you'll notice, you don't find Mishnayos discussing too much what the source for anything is. They just give you Masorah. Along comes the Gemara and tries to figure out where they get that from. And most of what the Gemara is doing is figuring out where in the Torah did they get that from. So the Kina Sofrim suggests, he says it, that this is the Rambam, even though this really doesn't seem to shtim with the Rambam in Hakdamat Pirush HaMishnayos, but he says it worked the other way. Chazal had a Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh, and then Chazal also had a Masorah of derivations. And then Chazal reached certain halachas, and they said, there's no way you could get that from anywhere. If you can't get that from anywhere, Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, we know it's part of the Torah Shebal Peh, and if we have no derivation, then it's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. That's radical. Don't quote her in my name. But okay, but Zechariah knows the first thing I told you. Your average yeshiva guy knows Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, no machlokes, it's very clear, Moshe said it, that's the way it is, it's less than 50, it's like the Rambam writes it, it's a simple world. Not so simple. Next point. Gzeres Shavah, as we discussed...
If I could be less than 50, it would be shocking, actually. You'd think it would be almost thousands.
No.
I mean, out of... take Chariah Mitzvot, so maybe not all of them need... can you break down into so many components, but the tefillin itself will have probably have a half a dozen to describe how you do that.
That brings you to the question, is that called the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim though?
Or is it derived somewhere else?
So that's the next point. Okay. If you really want to play the game right, then you have to say, wait a second. Every Gzeres Shavah is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And then we end up, like you said, with thousands of Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And that's one of the points where you have an issue with the Rambam. We have machlokes in Gzeres Shavah. So what will the Rambam counter? Like Tosa says in numerous places, the Masorah of Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim was either, darshan this word, where, you figure it out. So now Chazal had to apply their logic to figure out, where do I apply this words, Gzera Shava, as you find throughout the Shas? Sometimes the Gemara is at odds. Should I learn this from here or learn it from there? We like to think of a world that's very mesudar, very good. We have a Masorah. We know exactly how to darshan, and that's what we're going to do. But Tosa says it wasn't that way. So that doesn't contradict the Rambam. Many of the machloksin that we have can easily be understood that the halacha l'Moshe Misinai aspect of the Masorah was not in question. It's how to apply it, where to apply it, that was in question. So once you approach it the way Tosas teaches us to approach it, sometimes you had a Masorah darshan from this parsha to that parsha, but it doesn't. The Masorah didn't say how. Sometimes you had a Masorah darshan this word, but the Masorah didn't say where. Now go find in the Torah where you darshan the word. So that part of the Halacha Moshe Misinai we had without machlokas. Then when it came to the application, we have machlokas. So that's part of the answer to the Rambam. Okay, the other parts are interesting, but not as relevant to here. So
what is the Rambam identifying? Not to go through the moment. What types of things
as Halacha Moshe Misinai?
Yeah. I don't remember. Well, let's see. Rambam in San Francisco.
It's from what I'm understanding, first of all, that it is divided, can be broken down into things that Chazal derived through the laws of, you know, exegesis, right? The ones that are not according to this, the Knesset's offering, the rest is a halakha of Moshe Misinai, right?
But figuring these things out is trying to figure out what the Torah Shabbat that Moshe gave over to Yehoshua and to the Zakenim was. So.
I didn't follow.
I know. The question is, what is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai versus Torah Shebaal Peh?
Oh, so that's where the Prima Gadim goes. Meaning, okay, so... Here the Rambam enumerates it. Half a log of oil for the Tod, the Raviyah Shemen for the Nazir, 11 days between a Nida's cycle, between two cycles, Aro Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Good love of Dofen Akuma, the three laws of Mechitza, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Shiurim. So now you just covered every mitzvah, right? The Gemara says, Shiurim, Chatzitzin, Mechitzin, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. What are Shiurim? Kizayis, Revius, Chatzitzin, all the Shiurim. So every mitzvah you just covered. Benching, Yom Kippur, that's all Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Okay. Arav on Nisach HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Tefillin on Klaf, Mezuzah on Duchsusus, Sefer Torah on Vil, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The sheen of the tefillin, the knot of the tefillin, the black ritzuas, tefillin square, ma'abart of tefillin, halacha Moshe Misinai. That you wrap the parsha in here, that you sew it up with gidin, with sinus, halacha Moshe Misinai. You write a sefer Torah in dyo, and you make lines, halacha Moshe Misinai. We're almost finished. What?
Definitely over 50 by now. Way over 50.
That depends on how you count it. According to the Rambam's enumeration, I'm at about 25. I'm saying, but each one of these, just take shiurim. You got 50, 100 mitzvahs just there. Shiurim. Okay. Shir achila of a carbon, shir achila of Pesach, shir achila of matzah, shir achila of mar. I'm just saying, you know, shir. What does that mean, shir? So I'm saying, yeah, sure. Shir of mikveh, shir, yeah. That's, so I'm saying, yeah, the Rambam says there are very few. But like, you're right. That's what I'm saying. It's a question of how you play it out. Okay. You could see it over here.
The thing is, isn't there a machlokas in the shirim?
Where do we have machlokas in shir? Pretty much the shirim are pretty consistent. You have machlokas in shir chametz, in Pesach, where you're over on Bayrov al Yomatzah. Okay. So yeah, I guess. Okay. So you'll add that to the questions on the Rambam. Fine. There are a lot of questions on the Rambam. Seder. Over there, that machlokas is not really in the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. If you look closely, it's a machlokas in how to darshan the psukim over there. So that's not what the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai touches upon. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai touches upon how you tie it, the shape, the black, the the Halacha of Moshe Sinai on the Shin, but it's not about the order of the parashas inside. That's already from Psukim. That's Machlokes and Darshaning the Psukim. It's a Machlokes on how to understand the Gemara that Darshan the Psukim, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. What's bothering you? What was Moshe's question?
It's not necessarily every spoken thing that Hashem says to Moshe. I mean, that we're getting to, because there's things that are derived from. No, but it all comes from that.
I'm thinking, I might be wrong, but if you envision Torah Shebal Peh as a pyramid where the top of the pyramid is Halach L'Moshe Messina, and that sort of runs down the center of the pyramid.
Right, right.
And everything else is derivations and machlokas as you get further out.
So the Rambam says the way you guys said it. The Rambam says everything was given at Sinai. When is it called the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai?
Right.
That's when you have no basis in the Torah to say what you're saying other than the Masorah. Even though everything came at Sinai, the rest of Torah Shabbat Peh is derivable. What we're doing is we're applying Torah Shabbat Peh, deriving the Torah Shabbat Peh. You have a Masorah on how to learn the Torah Shabbat. But it's not something that has nothing to do with Torah Shabbat. Black film, it doesn't say anywhere. You want to tell me that the Shir Achila is a Kazayis? It doesn't say it anywhere. Meaning all of Torah Shabbat Peh is Masorah. That's true, Moshe Misinai. But the rest of it is connected to my understanding of Torah Shebichtav. Halacha Moshe Misinai, says the Rambam, is when you have something that's got nowhere in the pasuk. You got nowhere to get that from. You're going to tell me between the cycle, two cycles that a woman has, there must be a minimum of 11 days for her not to be a Zava. Doesn't say that anywhere.
I just thought of it. I think it's clear now. What if, say like this, the question Halacha L'Moshe Misinai versus Torah Shebal Peh is not a valid question. Really, it's all Torah Shebal Peh, and Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is what we label the Torah Shebal Peh when it is something where there's no basis in the written Torah, and it's just it's a direct Masorah from Hashem to Moshe. That's what we label Torah Shebal Peh as Halacha L'Moshe Misinai.
Right, so that's exactly what the Rambam says in his Akhtama. If you guys,
what is he saying again?
The Kinas Sofrim tells us a different point. Meaning, what the Kinas Sofrim is saying is, it's not the way we would like to think, the way the Rambam seems to presenting it, which is from top down, that Hashem gave Moshe Torah Shebal Peh. Everything derivable is Torah Shebal Peh. Everything that you have no place to go is Halacha Moshe Misinai. The Kinas Sofrim says we work backwards, meaning it's not that we necessarily had a Masorah, this is Halacha Moshe Misinai. We had a Masorah, this is Torah Shebal Peh. We couldn't find the Makor for it in the Pasuk, so we relegated to Halacha Moshe Misinai. But then what happens is I didn't have a Masorah that has to be Halacha Moshe Misinai. Then you're exploding a certain aspect of the Masorah. It's much more convenient for me to say, I had a Masorah. These 50 Halachas are Halacha Moshe Misinai, and in certain areas we have them. Meaning we have certain codes. Good love adof nakuma, halacha Moshe Misinai. The Gemara has a code. Arava, nisuchamayim, and eser netios, halacha Moshe Misinai. Three completely disjointed halachos that we have Masorah. These three are halacha Moshe Misinai. Shiurin, chatzitin, mechitin, halacha Moshe Misinai. Certain things the Gemara had a Masorah. These things are halacha Moshe Misinai. But what the Kinas Sofrim is saying is that wasn't the case with regard to everything in the that we say is Halacha Moshe Misinai. And that's the big chiddush. That we were willing to work backwards to say, I have a Masorah that this is so. I can't find a source for it, so this must be Halacha Moshe Misinai, that I got there by default and not through Masorah. That's a big chiddush.
Do you seem to forget that, or is it really working backwards?
That deserves a long answer. But I'll give... No, that goes into the whole discussion of the Netziv in his Akdama to the She'iltos on the balance between Torah Shebal Peh, that's Masorah, and derivable. And what the Netziv develops is that it's slightly amorphous, meaning there is no exact line. When is it derivable or not? What the Netziv develops over there is that even though certain halachos were given Masorah, and Moshe was not taught how to derive them from the Torah, nonetheless, if a person were sharp enough and smart enough and knew how to use the laws of derivation well enough, then he could still derive it from the Torah. And that's a chiddush that the Netziv says that without it, I don't know how you understand the Gemara. The Gemara says when Moshe passed away, they forgot 3,000 halachos that they had in Masorah from Moshe. And no one could figure him out until Osniel ben Kenaz came, and using his pilpul, he derived them. So what does that mean? That means that beforehand, it was Masorah. They didn't know how to derive it from the Torah. Moshe passed away, they spent 30 days mourning, everyone forgot. Now they come to Chazir, the Torah, there are 3,000 halachas they can't get their handle on. Along comes Osniel ben Kenaz, and he can derive it from the Torah. Moshe didn't teach him that derivation. Moshe gave it as Masorah. So the Netziv says, you see, there isn't a fine line. It's not like something has to be Masorah. But the question is, does that work with the Kinas Sovereign? Meaning, if I could smooth the line, whereas until Moshe passed away, this was on the side of Masorah. And now it's derivable, so then it's not a default type of thing. If you can't derive it, it's Alocha Moshe Misinai. Meaning, I don't think the Netziv and the Kinas Sovereign see Alocha Moshe Misinai. I don't think anyone but the Kinas Sovereign sees it the way the Kinas Sovereign does. But the Kinas Sovereign learns it in the Rambam.
It's saying that it is derivable, even though we don't have a tradition that it wasn't, it came that way.
Yeah.
Just through the everything, or no? Or the leftover again is halakha
moshe. So I don't think the Netziv would say that. I think the Netziv would say, what's halakha moshe m'sinai? You have a Masorah. That's halakha moshe m'sinai, gemarnu. Now this works very well with what we discussed in Machon Meir 2 weeks ago, the Medrash that says that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the laws of derivation and said, go break your head with this. Meaning, part of what Hashem gave Moshe is tools. Hashem didn't only give him Torah Shebachsav and Torah Shebaalpeh, Hashem also gave him the tools to continue deriving. What do I need tools for? I know everything. No, keep working. So then Torah is something that can develop in Moshe's life as well. Right. And if you want, go back online to our classes from about 3 years ago on the Ramban in the first Shoresh, and that's one of the Ramban's in the second Shoresh. That's one of the Ramban's proofs against the Rambam.
Okay.
The Rambam says that anything derived from the Yud Gimel Midos is Drabbanon. And the Ramban says, no, it isn't. The Rambam says, hey, in Moshe Rabbeinu's time they derived. You see they forgot 3,000 halachos. So the Rambam says, that's a raya, that even if it's derived, even if Moshe Rabbeinu derived it from the Yud Gimel Midos, it's still Drabbanan. Because it's derived. It's not, the Rambam says, it's Doraisa. It might not be Taryag, but it's still Doraisa. But that we saw a year ago, that's there. Did we close all the open-ended questions? What's still left open? I'm not sure. You guys look puzzled. I feel bad you're not taking notes.
Heavy stuff.
Well, what you said now in the end, just to close it up, touches also on what you made in Mahomeda, with this question and answer about evolving of Torah.
Correct. Yeah. Okay, let's summarize what we saw so far. Okay? Let's see if I remember. the Ramban wanted to defend Baal Halachos Gedolos that the mitzvah not to witness as they fold up the Holy of Holies is a long-term mitzvah, and Baal Halachos Gedolos was right in enumerating it. Even though technically we don't keep folding up the Holy of Holies for life, but it is a relevant mitzvah because that is the mitzvah that allows us to give the death penalty to someone who steals from Hekdesh. If you can't even see it punishable by death, then certainly you can't steal it punishable by death. That logic in the Gemara, that the Gemara quotes this pasuk as the basis for us killing someone who tries to steal from Hekdesh, that logic, says the Ramban, supports the idea that is a long-term mitzvah. It's a mitzvah forever because we always have this mitzvah. If you steal from Hekdesh, we could kill a person. That was a big chiddush in the Ramban, that you could take Kano and Pogimbo and make it into Misa Bidei Adam, and make it into an applicable, that if the Torah says Misa Bidei Shamayim, then I could apply Misa Bidei Adam. The Ramban then said, that's Halacha Moshe Misinai Kano and Pogimbo. And there we developed the following discussion. What does Halacha mean? What does the Moshe mean? What does Misinai mean? We quoted Rav Yosef and Rabba, Sinai and Oker Harim, the Gemara and Horios, that Sinai should be the boss. Rav Yosef left it over for, deferred to Rabba, and then he did become Rosh Hashiva at the end of his life. Then we went on to discuss Halacha Moshe Misinai. We brought the Rambam in the introduction to Pirush HaMishnah, is that Halacha Moshe Misinai, there's no machlokes on. Then we saw that the Rambam enumerates, 50, 60 Halacha Moshe Misinais, and we saw that really they expand tenfold, like you correctly pointed out. Then we discussed Halacha Moshe Misinai, was all the Torah given, was Halacha Moshe Misinai before Torah, during Torah, after Torah, does it have the weight of Torah, Safek Halacha Moshe Misinai lechumra, are we, when we say Ein Onshin Min Adin, are you Onish from Halacha Moshe Misinai or not? From the Ramban it seems that yes, you could, but then you could argue, but you have the basis in the Torah, Misa B'dei Shamayim, but not Misa B'dei Adam, so that's Onshin Min Halacha Moshe Misinai, according to the Ramban. We brought the discussion of what's told in the Torah in Torah form, in story form, what's told in the Torah before Matan Torah. We brought the Machlokas Rishonim, whether Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach are part of Taryag or additional to Taryag. Is it Keter Mitzvos or Taryag Mitzvos? And the Prima Gadim who learns that way in the Rambam, that there are Keter Mitzvos. Then we went on to discuss that Halacha Moshe Misinai sometimes is not as specific as we'd like. Like the Tosus brings that sometimes they had a Masorah, this word, that word, this halacha, that halacha, but not more than that. And then Chazal had to develop the halacha of Moshe Misinai. And that answers part of why there are machloksin in halacha of Moshe Misinai. Then we discussed that halacha of Moshe Misinai, there's the kina sofrim that says, it wasn't that they had a direct masorah, this is halacha of Moshe Misinai, but rather they worked backwards to derive what is the halacha of Moshe Misinai. Whatever they couldn't find the source for, they relegated to halacha of Moshe Misinai. In a nutshell, we covered, right? So things are clear, right? Yeah? Those points are clear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Do we stop here? Wish everyone good night? Yeah? Yes, we're pausing here? Yeah? Whatever you guys say. Mitzidi, we will find the stopping point. Go up to Masha Dikdik. But whatever you guys say. Let's go to a stopping point, yeah? Yes, we have koach.
Yeah,
okay. V'abraita shamar Rav Zal Diktani ve'elu shebmitashtu yainu p'ruei rosh, the braisa that the Rambam quoted. The braisa says, the following people get the death penalty if someone served in the Beis HaMikdash when he's drunk. If someone served in the Beis HaMikdash when he's grown his hair long. Otan shinan bidei adam ela bidei shamayim katani. So that braisa isn't a raya, because that braisa is enumerating those that are bidei, that are not bidei adam, they're bidei shamayim. We just said that if a person steals from Hegdish, that ends up being bidei adam. So that's why it's not enumerated there. Uvetosefta matnitin kai minan, batal diktani shmitatam bidei adam, aniskalin vanisafin, neragim vanechnakin, vamumatim bidei kanain, upichei kuna, the braisa over there on our Mishnah. After it says, those that are killed by man, stoned, burnt, killed, strangulated, and then killed by Kanoin, and Pichei Kuna, Chazal Veishnim Veshana, Ve'elu Shebmita B'dei Shemayim Bilvad. And the following only have Misa B'dei Shemayim. V'achar Shelamanu Shuchat, Mita B'dei Shemayim, Uvidei Adam. Now we just said that a guy who steals from Hegdish is Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim from Lo Yavo L'Ros Kevalas HaKodesh. Then we have the Halacha Moshe Misinai, Kanoin Pogimbo. Al Kocheinu, Dvar Torah Hu, Ve'en Lanu B'drabanan Chiyuv Mita Klal. We have to say that if he's chayav misa, then it has to be doraisa, like everyone else that's enumerated there. We don't kill a person from something that's not doraisa. And if it's Dvar Torah, then what the Ramban is saying, his final point that he wants to say in the Gemara, and we said this is a very hard mahalach, but he wants to say, from all these enumerations you see, when the Braisa enumerates all those that get killed, who does the Braisa enumerate? only people that get killed because the Torah says so. You can't kill a person unless the Torah said so. And there's no such thing as a drabanan chiyuv misa. Now, you remember when we learned the Gemara, we kept saying this is a difficult point in the Gemara. What are you killing a guy for? You're killing a guy based on a pasuk in Malachi. You're killing a guy, Boel Aramis. So you'll tell me the story of Pinchas. No. It's based on a Masorah. Moshe told them, but it doesn't say it. There's no tzivui, something that's derech sipur. You can't just say that's halacha, right? So, this is a very difficult point. What we have to say is that according to the Ramban, the halacha of Moshe Misinai carries a weight of Torah. Meaning we said, safek halacha Moshe Misinai, lekulu lechumra. I think you have to say according to the Ramban lechumra. We didn't discuss if safek doraisa lechumra is doraisa or drabanan. Safik doraisa l'chumra. When we say that, is that midoraisa or midrabanan? So I'm just saying, but l'chora the halacha Moshe Misinai, according to the Ramban, has to have the same weight as Dvar Torah. If he's willing to kill for it, then what the Ramban is saying, you can't kill on a drabanan. So then, equally, you have to say that every halacha Moshe Misinai, according to the Ramban, it has the weight of a doraisa. Now this has huge nafkaminas. Okay, yeah.
Can I ask a quick question here? When we say something is a mitzvah doraisa,
yeah,
we're not that doesn't mean that you open up a sefer Bereishis or Shemos and we read a pasuk in there and say, oh, that's a mitzvah doraisa. A mitzvah doraisa is also in Torah Shabbat. You can't learn something out of Torah Shabbat without Torah Shabbat.
One, three, or five.
we'll go with five.
Okay. But I want you guys to catch this, because we're going to discuss a few big things now. The Gemara discusses mitzvah shatzdukim modimbo. And it's a pity, because we had this discussion in the first two shorashim of the Ramban. The Gemara has a criterion. Is it something that the Karaites will agree to? Interesting concept. Meaning the Karaites are not willing to have a Masorah. Is it something that the Karaites will agree to? And that has halachic relevance, because there are certain mitzvos in the Torah that only pertain to mitzvos that are overt in the Torah. Let's take an example. We have different halachos of what happens if people are going to sin. Let's say you know that people are going to shave 5 minutes after Shkia on Friday, right? Going into Shabbos. Should you tell them something or not? Okay? We have a halacha that discusses that mutav sheyiyu shogigin. On certain areas we say, better you don't say anything, because it's not like they're going to listen. Moshe knows that I have this rule in the rabbinate too. If you know they're not going to listen, don't say it. And it's you might have lost more than you've gained if you know no one's going to listen, because you already made them into sinners, right? So you have to gauge. You have to get it right, but you have to gauge. The Gemara says, the halacha says, you only say that. By the way, it goes with children too. And he don't tell him, don't do. He's going to do it anyways. So you have to think 50 times. What am I gaining by saying no? this morning, right? Me too. My wife baked fresh kugels for Shabbos, and the 2-year-old went and did this, and I saw her going, and I didn't say no because I knew there's no way she's stopping. So what am I going to say no for? She's that. So our cook of Shabbos has a big hand in it, right? So what was I going to say no for? Because she's going to do it. The concept karoim modimbo tells us that this is something that I see in the pasuk without Torah shebal peh. So far, so good.
Yep.
Next, we had a machlokas in the second shoresh, the second root of the Rambam. The Rambam said mitzvos that are derived from the yud gimel midos don't get counted. They're rabbinic. And the Ramban went ballistic. He said, you know what? This is a beautiful work except for that. You wrote beautiful things, Rambam, but there you got it wrong. No. anything derived from the Yud Gimel Midos is the Oraisa. The Rambam said it's Divrei Sofrim. Sofer, the Gemara in Megillah tells us, was the title of a rabbi in the days of Bayis Shenim. Divrei Sofrim simply means these are the words of the rabbis. It doesn't mean it's rabbinic. It's biblical, but you can't get it without the Masorah of the rabbis. So there are things that I can't... There are things that are karoim modimbo or tzedukim modimbo that I say that's clear in the Pasuk. And the Megillah Esther wants to develop the following thought in the Rambam. The Megillah Esther is one of the works here, but the Megillah Esther is an interesting work because he's very partial, meaning he has one purpose in mind, defend the Rambam. So if you're writing a book and that's all you're out there to do, you understand that your sides are defined for you already. It has nothing to do with what you think. Your whole job is defend the Rambam. So the Megillas Esther, one of the things he suggests, a beautiful idea in the Shorashani, he says, maybe the Rambam also agrees that what's derived from the Yud Gimel Midos is biblical. It just doesn't get counted as part of the 613. Those are two different questions. Meaning, according to the Rambam, you could only count that which you see in the Pasuk. If you want to tell me Hashem gave Moshe 613 mitzvos at Sinai, that means 613 mitzvos that you see in the Torah. Are the other things biblical? Of course they're biblical, like the Ramban says, and the Ramban goes pages. We spent like 3 months learning all the Ramban's proof. He goes all through Shas, and he says, I don't have time to write anymore. But he gives maybe 50 proofs from all over that things that are derived from the Yud Gimel Midos are biblical. So the Miguel's sister says, yeah, the Rambam didn't say they're not biblical. The Rambam just meant they're not part of the Tariyag. Right. So I'm saying, but there's a difference. Yeah?
I don't see the difference.
Well, the first difference is that it won't get counted as the Tariyag according to the Rambam. Other differences, so I gave an example that we wouldn't be mochiach someone on something that's overt in the Pasuk. If it's not overt in the Pasuk, like Tosefes Yom Kippur, so that's not overt in the Pasuk, so then maybe I should be mochiach them. No, everyone knows that. It's a din d'oraisa. So don't be mochiach then. But there's a difference between something that everyone knows that's obvious and something that not. There's a difference in how we treat a dayan that makes a mistake in it. There's a difference in a zakin mamre. When could you be a zakin mamre? A zakin mamre is on something that they don't agree with. But if it's something that everyone knows, it's an open pasuk, the zakin mamre says differently. That's not a zakin mamre. It's tamma not because, it's tamma denying what it says. There are halachos where we say there's a difference. If it's open in the Torah, if it just says it, then that's okay. That's obviously Torah. Yeah? I gave a few examples. There are more examples, but...
It's a tremendous work that I have to do in English. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with such a publication. But this could be, just occurring to me now, like in terms of defining the Masorah and all the pathways which came from Sinai and how this boiled down to halakha and halakha, contemporary halakha, it would be like a tremendous work. Like all these things that we're bringing up now.
Right, but I have to tell you, I